See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure that day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner and like fuller's soap, and he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us.
Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins.
By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
This is Luke 3:1-6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
Advent is the season of preparation, and as you can tell from the traffic and the decorations going up, it is in full swing. Everybody is starting to go crazy. All the things we need to do, to clean, to bake, to shop, to think about what parties to go to, what to host. For those of you who are counting, this is the second Sunday of Advent, and we're almost halfway to Christmas. But into our Advent busyness each year comes John the Baptist, interrupting our schedules and demanding that preparations of a different kind be made. As Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite authors, puts it, unlike the culture that surrounds us, the church is in no great hurry to get there. With the wisdom of centuries, our tradition tells us that the journey itself is what we need as much as finally reaching the shed outside of Bethlehem. It tells us to pause, to take stock, to lie on some hillside a little distant from our destination and watch the stars. It tells us to empty our hearts so that there is room in them for the birth of something new, and altogether unforeseen. What does that mean? To prepare the way for the Lord. Three of our texts, all three of our texts today, talk about preparing the way, talk about a messenger. I've learned a little bit about preparation since I knew that I was having foot surgery. I knew that I would be on the couch for a couple days and then limping a little slower than normal pace for more days or weeks. So I got some easy stuff for the kids' lunches. I went to the library. I got all the stuff that I might need or want to work on close to the couch. So it was right there. And got some groceries, so the fridge was full. And everything pretty much went as expected until about Thanksgiving morning when we were in PA and I was sitting down at breakfast and adjusting to the stool that I had my foot on, and suddenly I had a muscle spasm. And I spent the next 2 days actually taking some painkiller for my back rather than my foot and laying even flatter on the back. A sudden jolt to... that I hadn't been prepared for, because I had prepared for all the things I thought about, but I didn't think about my body and how the foot connected to the rest of my body and might affect that with all my limping and hopping and sitting. Well, interestingly enough, once we got back and my back was better, I suddenly got a call on Tuesday from a friend saying, "Help, I'm on the floor, I can't get up, my back locked up." So I limped over there and... cripple helping a cripple, and helped her, and actually had to call 911, the ambulance, to get her to the hospital because there was no way I could do any lifting or anything. So we did the preparation in the unforeseen, in the unexpected. In Malachi, which means my messenger, Malachi tells the people of God that God will send a messenger to prepare the way. The word of the prophet Malachi calls the people to be prepared, which is not an easy task because the people at that time were complaining that God had been absent, that God had failed to uphold justice. Where is the God of justice, they ask. Even more so, God seems to actually favor the unjust. However, the truth was that God had gotten tired of the people's accusations and complaining because it was the people's own unpreparedness, own violence and faithlessness toward God and each other that had created the situation of the injustice and God's apparent absence. So Malachi proclaims, yes, the Lord is coming, but are you ready? Are you prepared when God is coming to be refined, to repent of your corruption, injustice, and faithlessness? Are you ready to put your hearts, to set your hearts and mind aright? Because God will come, he will not destroy you, but he will refine you. God is prepared to burst in and be the ruler in their lives. God is prepared to set their feet on the path of peace. God is prepared to help maintain and smooth and straighten that road and walk with us on the path of peace. God's messenger, Malachi, in this case, had a tough task because the people weren't ready to hear the word. He had to find a way for them to hear God's message anew. Sometimes we find ourselves in the same situation as the Israelites. We need to hear God's message anew. We need someone to prepare the way for us to hear God's word in a fresh way so that we can walk anew in the path of peace. Sometimes God bursts in through art, through a special song, through a special word that we hear in a different way. And so as we prepared for the season of Advent, the worship committee tried to create ways that God could break in new ways into our midst, into our being, just like the candy that was handed out at some point bursts in a new way. If you have eaten it, you know what I'm talking about. Zechariah, in our second text, knows what that refining was like because he speaks the words that we heard today after 9 months of silence, 9 months of waiting. Because Zechariah's response to the special visitor had been lacking in believing, and as a result, he had been silenced until the birth of John. We don't know what happened in Zechariah's mind and heart during those 9 long months. We do know that afterwards he was filled with the Spirit and able to praise God. Zechariah received a jolt, and it led him to a new way. It led him to connect the past with the future. God's hand in the past with God's hand in the future. And proclaiming that John was the messenger to come and to guide our feet in the path of peace and to prepare the way for Jesus. Zechariah's heart and God's heart met to provide a new way. As we prepare the way this season, we're called to find new ways to connect with the heart of God, with the heart of those around us. These past weeks, I've met with Habitat for Humanity and some youth pastors to find out a way in connecting our communities in Charlottesville with the youth and open our eyes to where there are communities of people living with less than is needed, who have barely a roof over their head, some of the needy neighborhoods. And so we've worked on planning ways to have a youth rally where we look at things Habitat for Humanity has done, neighborhoods that have been improved, and other situations, other neighborhoods that Habitat for Humanity has bought and is planning to renew. There's one neighborhood, there are 8 trailers, I think, and they have committed to every one of those people to have a place in the new housing they are building. Connecting God's heart and those of our neighbors is something that Mennonites are well known for. After natural disasters, Mennonite Disaster Service coming in and cleaning up. During World War I or II, I forget, when the conscious objectors helped with the mental health care. Was that one or two? Two. World War II, when Pete Mennonites became conscious objectors and helped get mental health care going. In these times, we're called to be people of God, to find new ways to prepare the way for Jesus, to walk in the path of peace. And I was going to have a quote from the Goshen College president, but that's somewhere on the kitchen table. But it went along the lines of, if you're a business owner and you hire somebody, you're making a path for peace. You're providing someone's income. If you are working in other areas, lending a hand, you are making a way for peace. I forgot the quote at home. It is not just through bringing people Jesus, but in many different ways that we can create peace in our society. And the many economic needs we have these days and living in times of war, there are many ways that we can find to make peace. And so our last text, which starts with the Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, the governor, Herod, the ruler, Philip, Lysanias, other rulers, and Annas and Caiaphas, religious rulers. It goes from there to John the Baptist, who is the one who prepares for peace. A rough but sincere character in the middle of the wilderness, not in Rome, not in Jerusalem, but in the wilderness, an ambivalent space, a place where God is present, but also a place where God tempts. That is where God's word comes to us again. Make straight the way for the Lord. So how do we prepare the way for Jesus? How do we make the journey? How do we live while we wait? Wait for what? For Jesus to come again? For peace to break forth? For the Christmas day? For John, it is waiting for the one who will come after him, who is mightier than he. John, Malachi, and Zechariah don't know the details. John can't give us a name. All that either one of them can proclaim is that the old ways of life are passing away and new life is on its way. Without details, without a need to know what we are getting ready for, they call us to prepare the way for that new life, to clear away anything that might get in its way and wait without knowing when it will come or what exactly it will look like or how exactly it will change our lives. One advantage we have is 21st century Christians over John and Zechariah and Malachi is that we have heard and believed the story of Jesus' birth. And as we think about birth and babies, Matt and Katie Goins just had one last week, we know that it takes preparation to get ready for a baby to enter one's life. One has to make space, be willing to give up certain things that one loves to do or have, to make the space for the child, for the new life in one's midst. Not knowing what exactly that child will look like, what it will be like, and how it will change one's life. All one knows is that it will never be the same. And so people go about preparing a space, a place. So let us prepare a place again for the baby Jesus, for the grown-up Lord who comes again in great glory and power. Let us prepare a way. Let us make room. Because as long as our hearts and souls are still full, we cannot have the room for what is yet to come, for what God has still in store for us. If we are full up, there's no room at the inn. This Advent season, we are invited again to come out, to let go, to open up, not to forsake what we love or want for our lives, but to hold them lightly without clinging, and to be willing to give up what's in the way of a new path, the new room that God is preparing. Elie Wiesel, when he was a kid, every day after school when he came home, was asked by his mother, not how school was or what he learned that day, but if he asked a good question that day. So let us be open. Let us ask the right questions. Be open to God's new way to create something new and unknown in our lives. We don't know exactly what it is, when it will come, but we wait with faith and hope and love, because we know that God is coming. Amen.
I invite you to turn to your bulletin, and in the spirit of the words we heard, and in the uncovering of light and hope in our own lives and in the world, I invite us to read the litany. Lord, in this time of Advent, we long for your coming. We rejoice that you send messengers to prepare the way and announce the light of peace. Yet we are afraid of your judgment. Who can endure the day of your coming? Who can stand when God's messenger appears? Guide us with your grace. Lord, in your loving kindness, draw near and finish the good work that you have started in us.